Hello, welcome to the Show Oshibeson podcast. Show Oshibeson is the lead pastor, Grace Made Christian Center, where we raise change agents. We do hope you'll be refreshed by God's word today. Happy listening.
Yes, your pastor means that much to me. He is a man that deserves to be honored because he served with all his heart when he was in Global Harvest Church. And this is a man who's been an administrator of our largest church for years, and he was administrator of our richest church. But not one naira was ever missing under his management. Not one naira was ever missing under his management. So he's trustworthy, very, very trustworthy. He's one of those people that when he was living, I knew will do well. Praise God. And I know that even though my heart released them, because I've learned how to release people even when it is painful. You know, I knew that it was even more difficult for your mommy to let you go. You know, at that time, she wanted to hold on for longer. You know, because he is that precious to us. And after he left, he was missed, seriously missed after he left. So we thank God for a man like him. But if he didn't leave, we wouldn't have Grace Made here today. Are we grateful to God for the gift of Pastor Shewa Oshibeson in this house? Hallelujah. And of course, his very beautiful wife is a special gift from heaven. Praise God. I'm satisfied. Praise God. I care very deeply about who marries my spiritual sons. Even their oldest brothers, I used to get involved in the matter. When I say oldest brothers, I'm talking about the likes of Dr. Abadu Duwole, Rebecca Jesus. I used to be involved in those days. They will come and introduce who they want to marry to me. I feel the person, you know, feel my spirit on them. And all that, when I see that it is a good one, I rejoice. Praise God. Because I know that if it is not a good one, we won't be able to sleep well in the future. So we are grateful to God. Your mother in this house is beautiful inside and outside. If she does beauty contest today, she will win physically. But at the same time, she's also beautiful on the inside. She's a woman of virtue, a woman of excellence, and so supportive. Thank you. Thank you for being that very supportive wife that he prayed for, asked God for, and God gave him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I know that every time he looks at you, he says, Father, thank you. Hallelujah. Because some people are like, it was God that told me to marry her. I didn't see her beauty. I was a very bad boy when I was in secondary school. When I say bad boy, it wasn't like I did anything bad, but the kind of things that go through my mind. So there was this two ladies, you know, that sang this song in one fellowship meeting like that. And they were saying that it was beauty that Samson saw. He didn't look at character, you know, when he was choosing Delilah. He was carried away with beauty. So I took a good look at those sisters. I said, no wonder. Why were they singing about Samson? Why didn't they sing about Abraham? Abraham had to tell lies so that they won't kill him. Because of how beautiful his wife was. That chose the example of Samson. Praise God. So look at any single brother around and say, choose well. So we will not have to sing about Samson. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Be seated, please. I am at home at Grace Made, so I can crack all my jokes here. Praise God. So good to see my son, Reverend Ezekiel Adebayo, the Lord bless you, son. Celebrate you. And I also came with some powerful men of God. Pastor Shegun Daudu is here, one of our pastors in Global Harvest Church, Maryland, Lagos. And Pastor Dari Akilaja. They are powerful. Glory to God. So good to have you guys with me. And I know there's some other protocol officers somewhere at the back there. Praise God. God bless you all. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis. I've been wondering where do we start this journey from. Praise God. It's because it's a journey. However, the journey won't be long. I'm looking at the clock, and I won't violate the clock. Praise God. Genesis chapter 14. We start from there, and we shall read from verse 18. Genesis 14 from verse 18. And then we'll make our journey to Luke chapter 4. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, and Eshcol and Mamre, let them take their portion." Go to chapter 15. Because it was the translators that broke the Bible into chapters and verses for easy reading. It was just written as one straight book like that. Praise God. So chapter 15, and we are going to look at verse 1 alone. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" By the grace of God, I am speaking on exceedingly great reward. Father, we ask you today for the anointing that makes teaching easy, that I will be able to explain and expound your word to your people with such simplicity and with such understanding that everybody will leave this place having received revelation knowledge and the consequent impartation of faith for the exceeding great reward that you have for each and every one of us. May our lives never remain the same. May you be glorified by the fruits of this teaching in each and every life. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen. Now, you all are very familiar with the call of God upon Abram. When God called Abram, God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees in Genesis chapter 12. And there were 7 blessings that were released. Even though we call them 7 due to the punctuation of the words that were spoken there. But God was actually pointing out 2 important things in the statements he made there. Because of time, we didn't read it as part of our text, but I know many of us are very familiar with it, and you can go home and read it. All you need to do is take down the note on your phone or on your notebook, and then when you get back home, I want you to go and read it. But in that calling, God told Abram, "I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless," no, God first said, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great." He said, "And I will bless him who blesses you, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless him who blesses you, and curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Let me count them again. God said, "I will make of you" what? "A great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless him who blesses you and curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Sounds like 7 here to me, yeah. 7 blessings that were released there. But actually, if you understand what God was telling Abraham there, there are two major things that he was saying. The first thing he said and the last thing he said were the highlights of everything. You see, those other five blessings in between were attached to the first blessing and the second blessing. And let me explain it to you. God told Abraham, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, out of thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. Somebody say, a great nation. What God was referring to as that great nation was a physical nation that will come from him. In other words, he was going to multiply Abraham's family so much that it will grow into a great nation. That nation is the nation of Israel today. And God has raised a great nation. You see them there? Just some few millions of people there in the desert, surrounded by enemies round about, and yet unconquerable. Why? Because of God's blessing. More than 25% of all Nobel Peace Prizes ever won in this world have been won by Jews. In the United States of America, it's been discovered that of all ethnic minorities, in other words, you know, the Americans who are primarily Europeans that went and conquered the natives and took over the place to form the United States of America. So all other nationalities, apart from Europeans, are ethnic minorities. Nigerians, ethnic minorities, Ghanaians, ethnic minorities, the Jews, the Arabs. Of all ethnic minorities, in terms of per capita income in the United States, the Jews are by far the richest. They are the wealthiest and the most blessed. They have the most solid marriages also in the country. It's been discovered. And these people are the most innovative. Of all businesses sold in the New York Stock Exchange every day, startup businesses, I mean, sold in the New York Stock Exchange today, 50% of it are businesses born out of innovations made by Jews. 50% of all startup businesses. Historically, they are a special breed of people on the face of the earth today. And some of their descendants are some of the wealthiest and most successful people. Bill Gates is a descendant of a Jew. He's a Jew. Mark Zuckerberg, Jew. You see these guys? They are the shakers and the movers. When you go to New York City, in New York, Manhattan, which is like the economic headquarters or economic capital of the world, the real estate there, half of it is owned by the Jews. God has raised them up, the descendants, biological descendants of Abraham, to be very great, to be very mighty. They are stupendously wealthy also, financially and materially. Their progenitor was this Abraham. They are grateful today for their father, the father of their nation, by the name Abraham. This man was called out of the awe of the Chaldees, and he obeyed God. God promised him, if he obeyed, I will make of you a great nation. And God has made that nation today. He has exalted the Jews above all other races out of the obedience of Abraham. So that's the first part of it. Now, when God now said, I will bless you, it's because, you know, it is that blessing of God that will make the great nation emerge out of Abraham. Hallelujah. And God said, he will make him a blessing. In other words, he will be a blessing. This great nation will be a blessing to other nations. And then God now said at the end of the day, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, this is the height of the proclamation that God made when he said, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And how will that happen? The Bible explains it in the book of Galatians. You know, when he said so. Because in Galatians chapter 3, I think rather than just, you know, be quoting some verses out of there, let us go there to read a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing or seeing ahead, that God will justify the Gentiles by faith. Every time you read in your Bible and you see the word Gentiles, it means non-Jews. Gentiles are what? Non-Jews. So what you have are Jews and Gentiles. For instance, Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." You see that dichotomy made, because the word Gentile means non-Jews. Another expression that differentiates the two is the word circumcision and uncircumcision. The Jews are called the circumcision because God branded them. As one of my friends, a brand consultant, will say, God branded them with circumcision. In Genesis chapter 17, God told Abraham, every male child in his household, every man should be circumcised, and that on the 8th day of the birth of every male child, they should be circumcised. In those days, it was not anything in practice in the world. Circumcision was not popular like it is today. It was after thousands of years of scientific research, they now discovered that this circumcision thing has health benefits for men. Because when people are uncircumcised, there is a capacity for a lot of germs to be harbored. They are more susceptible to infections. So people are now following God's wisdom. But originally God said, look, the male children of the Jews, as a token of covenant with me, let them be circumcised. So that set the Jews apart from the Gentiles. And is that not what you do in branding? If we see the logo of Grace Meat now, that's Grace Meat. That is what sets you apart from all other ones. All other, you know, brands, so to speak. So there was this brand differentiation between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. I believe you are following me. However, we are now told in verse 8 here of Galatians chapter 3 that, and the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith. To justify is to declare guiltless. To justify is to declare without condemnation. To justify is to vindicate. To justify is to qualify a person. It is to make you righteous, to give you that ability to stand before God with no sense of condemnation and guilt, as if you've never done anything wrong. God established a system of justification for the Jews in the Old Testament that the non-Jews did not have. And that was when God created the system of the Passover lamb. The first time the children of Israel killed that lamb in the land of Egypt, that night God passed over in judgment over Egypt, but he skipped over the children of Israel in the land of Goshen. You remember that story, isn't it? All the firstborn of Egypt were killed that night. None of the firstborn of the Jews were killed because they put the blood of the lamb on the lintels of their houses, on the top post and the side post, and putting the blood there, that blood signified to the Lord that all the sins of the members of that household had been paid for when the lamb was killed, because the wages of sin is death, and the death has been meted to the lamb on behalf of the people. Are you following me, somebody? Therefore, whenever the lamb is slain, the people on whose behalf it was slain are justified before God. So God is able to bless them. Well, God said they have to be presenting it every year. And then when you do something wrong, present another animal. Trespass offering. Present sin offering. There were all those offerings they were presenting. But 2,000 years ago, the seed of Abraham, by the name Jesus of Nazareth, went to Calvary's cross. And he was killed as a lamb for the Gentiles also, both for Jews and Gentiles, as a once for all perfect sacrifice. Can I see somebody shout the loudest hallelujah? So the Bible says, and the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying in you, all the nations shall be blessed. What we read in Genesis 12:3 is all the families, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That word families, actually, ethne in the original rendition, means all ethnicities or nationalities or nations. So it is that Genesis 12 verse 3 that is being quoted here in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. God was saying, in you all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. In other words, not only are the Jews going to be blessed, but through the sacrifice of Jesus, the non-Jews are going to be blessed also. Whoever comes to God by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary's cross will become blessed with the blessing of Abraham. And that's why verse 9 of that Galatians 3 says, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. If you are blessed, shout, I'm blessed. Say it again. When you look at verse 13, let's just skip to verse 13 in Galatians 3. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So those of us who are in Christ are blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Glory to God. All right, let me just leave this area because of time. And let's go back to Genesis 14. Hallelujah. I didn't come to preach today. I came to teach. Hallelujah. And I hope you are enjoying the teaching. I hope it is not confusing to you. I hope you understand it clearly. In other words, if you are blessed with the blessing of Abraham, somebody say, I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham. So what makes the Jews as great as they are? You have it. It's the blessing of Abraham that has made them great. And you have it also. In fact, the extra that you have is something that they also now have in Christ, if they embrace Christ Jesus. And that extra is the righteousness of faith. I don't need to present Passover lambs every year. I don't need to present any animal sacrifices at any time. In Christ Jesus, I have been justified, declared guiltless. I stand before God today as I'm on this pulpit with absolutely no sense of condemnation. I stand with absolutely no sense of guilt or sin in the presence of the Almighty God. In other words, as you are looking at me, even though I have done many wrongs in my life, and I know I will still do some more, due to the imperfections of my flesh, I stand before God as though I have done absolutely nothing wrong. Because I am clothed with Christ's righteousness. Hallelujah. That's why I like that hymn, in Christ alone my hope is found. Very wonderful song. And one of the lines of the hymn that I love is the one that says, in no arm of flesh and no scheme of man can ever pluck me out of his hand. he loves me with an eternal. Don't let me digress. Otherwise, we can begin to talk about Romans chapter 8 and talk about the love of God. What shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? If you understand that love, you will know that you are loved permanently, eternally, and unreservedly. And that your imperfections are not enough to pluck you from his hands. And that you are saved. Are you saying once saved, forever saved? Are you one of those eternal salvation people? Yes, sir, I am. Except if you deny Christ. This is the only reservation I have. Praise God. I believe that as people use their will to accept Christ, they can use their will to reject Christ. That's my only difference with eternal salvation people. So I'm one of them. I'm one of them, but praise God. And one of them minus. Just a little minus there. Glory be to God. But don't let me digress into that today. But if you know the riches of God's grace, you see, if you don't, you have not understood the grace of God, if your flesh does not say, shall we cuckoo continue in sin that grace may abound? It is your flesh that will say so. Then your spirit will now answer, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Hallelujah. But your flesh will feel like that. Say, we can cuckoo make heaven if we do wrong. Then your spirit man will say, no way, that is not my nature. Hallelujah. If pig falls into the mire, into gutter, it will be enjoying itself, wallowing. Carry, it will roll inside the gutter and enjoy itself. If sheep falls inside there, it will start shouting. It will start crying out, please come and deliver me out of this gutter. Born again Christians don't feel comfortable inside sin. You are not comfortable. The nature of Christ in us will not let us feel comfortable. Glory to God. The flesh will want to take the grace of God for granted, but your spirit man will not want to. No. Your spirit man is never comfortable. Holiness is where your spirit man is comfortable. Let me hear somebody say, praise the Lord. Okay, so we are back to Genesis 14. Glory to God. Can I make progress here? So the Bible tells us, now here Abraham heard that his cousin, his nephew, Lot, had been kidnapped. Well, there was war actually, and the guy was carried away. Yeah, he was kidnapped in the war with the king of Sodom and a whole lot of goods, a lot of wealth, and they carted everything away. And Abraham took only 318 trained men. Now he had trained them to defend his family, because you have to understand, in primitive days, unlike now that there's United Nations to try to protect every nation, in primitive days, you see, every family was evolving. Families were evolving into nations. And the way everybody was establishing his territory was through fighting, through war. You fight, then you respect one another. Okay, oh, when you settle the matter, okay, don't cross this line, though. This is our land. This is your land. That was how the nations were emerging one after the other. So when God told Abraham to go there, that he wanted to make of him a great nation, Abraham went there and first pitched his tent somewhere. Then he bought land as a family. Then he was growing gradually. So he too had his own militants that were guarding him and protecting the little that he had. But he had not yet evolved into a nation until God allowed his family to now go into Egypt. And they now grew over 400 years into over 2 million people. God now said, yes, the cup of the Amorites are full. All those people in that land, worshiping idols in the land that I have earmarked for myself, their cups are full. I wanted to be very well justified when I rain judgment on them. You will now go back and I'll go to be with you. You will fight and kill those people. Wipe them out of the land. And then you settle there. Praise God. And that was how God settled the children of Israel in the current land. It was allowed. Just fight and conquer. Wherever you can fight, conquer and defend is your own. That was the rule in those days. The same rule that Putin is trying to use right now over Ukraine. But that is wrong. In modern international law, it is not allowed. But some nations that are more powerful than others, they are still using brute force. That's why Britain has one small island beside Argentina. Traditionally, it belonged to Argentina. They call it Falkland Island. And when Argentina went to take over the place many years ago, they carry ship all the way from UK. All the way to Argentina and South America. Flush them out of there. What do you make? The land is our home. It's oppression. The wealthiest nations of this world, they are still oppressing the poor ones. So unfortunate. Anyway, so here is Abraham meeting this man of God called Melchizedek. I don't want to go into the story of Melchizedek much, except that his name means King of Righteousness. He's symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous king. The scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness, according to Hebrews 1:9 and Psalm 45, 6 and 7, from where that was quoted from. He brought out bread and wine. Symbolic of what? The body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. According to Hebrews 7, this Melchizedek was a symbol of Christ Jesus. He was the priest of the Most High God. The Bible also calls him the King of Salem. He was a king of a town called Salem. Today, that town is known as Jerusalem. Jerusalem in Hebrew simply means city. City of Salem. Salem means peace. So the man, being the king of this particular town, was the king of peace. When you see the title of Jesus, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 says that word prince is not like Prince William. It means a ruler. or King of Peace. That is what it means. Praise God. And what did Melchizedek say? Melchizedek said, he blessed Abraham. I said, blessed be Abraham. The Bible says he blessed him. Hebrews 7 verse 6 says, and without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. When somebody spiritually greater than you is blessing you, the words of their mouth will work on you. That's why God says, honor your parents, because they are life sources over your life. Whether it's spiritual parents or it is earthly parents, when they invoke blessings over you, they will work in your life. Are you listening to me, somebody? So this Melchizedek, priest of the Most High, on behalf of God, was invoking benedictions on Abraham. And look at what he said. Blessed be Abraham of God, the Most High. The Most High. He is releasing blessings from the Most High. If the Most High is blessing you, then you yourself will be high. Elevation is yours automatically. Come on, somebody say, in Christ Jesus, and by the blessing of Abraham, elevation is my portion. I will be the head and not the tail. I will be above and not beneath. Let me hear you say, praise the Lord. Now notice this very heavy statement. The next name he calls God is very, very crucial and very relevant. Possessor of heaven and earth. What did God promise Abraham? Get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, out of thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And then I will make of you a great nation. What is a great nation? Which nation can be great without land? All the fight you see between the Jews and the Palestinians going on right now is over land. It's on land. That land that the children of Israel occupied for thousands of years. Emperor Titus invaded that land in AD 70. Scattered the Jews. And they were scattered abroad all over the earth. While they were away, the Philistines, who were the ancestors of the modern day Palestinians, started moving in and moving in. You read the story of Goliath, didn't you? Where did Goliath come from? Gaza. You go and read the story very well. It was a Philistine from Gaza. Same Gaza. Between Egypt and Israel. Same Gaza. They were the ancestors of the modern day Palestinians. The modern day Palestinians, why the Jews were gone? Because the Jews were scattered abroad for about 2,000 years. The Palestinians moved in on the land and started living there. And some of them built houses. Honestly, after living there for generations, they don't know any other home except Jerusalem and except the land of the Jews. So when the land was now given back to the Jews by the British who colonized the area and the United Nations, the Jews are trying to settle down the Palestinians and say, no, we will wipe you out. On the other hand, Jerusalem has been taken over. And the Jews are like, no, that is our home. That is our land. That is where we belong. That's the reason why till today, the Jews don't have a temple. Because the temple site that God gave them where they built their temple in the Old Testament is where the Al-Aqsa Mosque sits. And the Muslims say it is their third holiest site. Don't touch it. That site is going to cause World War III. The day the Jews try to take over that place is the day World War III will break out. Because the Muslims are very passionate about that site. And yet, the ruins of the temple are there. They are clear. The Wailing Wall, where the Jews go to pray right now, is just on the other side of that mosque. Historically. Praise God. So if you are looking for peace between them, there will never be peace. Never. Only the Antichrist will bring a semblance of peace there, which will not last beyond 3.5 years, according to Bible prophecy. There's no peace. Never. That land, the two sides have history that they can lay claim to that it is their home. The Jews, God gave it to them. And it is true. They lived there before the Palestinians. But the Palestinians, after they were scattered abroad, they too lived there. And the Jews chased them out of the place. That's why even in what you call modern day Israel today, you know it's not only Jews that are in modern day Israel. There are Arabs in modern day Israel, those who refuse to leave. And they are the ones who dominate East Jerusalem. East Jerusalem is dominated by Muslims. The West Jerusalem is a modern city developed by the Jews. But East Jerusalem, the very street that Jesus walked and all of that, dominated by the Muslims. That's why you also see cities like Bethlehem. It's a Palestinian territory today. Jericho, they're all in Palestinian territory. Hallelujah. Anyway, back on course. Somebody say elevation is mine in Christ Jesus. So when he blessed him and said, be blessed of the possessor of heaven and earth. That is the blessing of the land that God promised him. Melchizedek took that blessing and invoked it upon Abraham. So you are blessed of the possessor of heaven and earth. Somebody say, in Christ Jesus, I am blessed with elevation. By the blessing of Abraham, I am blessed with real estate. Grace Mead, you are blessed with real estate. Properties are yours abundantly. In the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a grace that God has given your pastor right now. Praise God. He's a dealer in real estate. So, and I know that grace will be upon this house. Anybody that is a true son and daughter of this house will not labor to own their own property. Let me hear believing amen now. Then he turned and said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Victory. If you are blessed with the blessing of Abraham, victory is yours over your enemies. No matter how powerful those forces are, more powerful is your God. You think you're alone in battle? Come on, stop thinking so. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. So that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. We don't fear witches here. Or wizards here. One day, there was a crusade outreach we were doing many years ago in my first pastorate. I announced the address of my house. I was calling out on megaphone all the witches that are in this Ibadan. This is where I live. When we got to my wife, said, please. This announcement of address, don't do it. You're not the only one that lives inside this house. I said, you're all covered. I am here. You're all covered. My wife said, please, just don't announce address anymore, please. Because I wanted to invite all the witches. If they are that powerful, let them come. Yes, sir. Am I born now? Hallelujah. Then you see born again Christians. There's a woman in our family. She's always appearing to me. She looks at me like this and in the dream. I remember one day, somebody wanted to oppress me. One power of darkness wanted to oppress me in a dream. And as I wanted to attack the power of darkness, that power of darkness towered like a masquerade, like this, into the sky. But the power of the Holy Spirit lifted me like with. And I was angry in the realm of the spirit. And I was lifted up and I shouted, no! And that power diminished and disappeared. Because no matter how high you can tower, you cannot tower above the greater one that lives on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. According to 1 John 4:4. The greater one lives. We are not afraid of them. We can do all this through Christ who strengthens us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, according to Colossians 1:27. It's the blessing of Abraham. Are you grateful? I said, are you grateful? So when he pronounced those three blessings like that, the next thing Abraham did was that Abraham took all the spoils of war. Now the rule of war is he who wins the war owns the spoils. And that's why some people say it is not true. It's the king of Sodom that owned everything and so on. I said, did Abraham consult the king of Sodom before he gave the tithe of it? He did not consult the king of Sodom. He took tithe, 10% of everything, and gave it. Why? He's taken bread and wine, it's covenant with God, and he knows that because it's covenant with God, God is the one who's elevated me and elevating me. He is the one who's given me land and is going to give me enough land for me to become a great nation. It is the same God who's given me victory over my enemies. By this tithe, I'm acknowledging that the elevation, the land, the victory, and every blessing came from God. That is what tithing is. It's an act of worship that acknowledges God as source. And it is an act of covenant responsibility that takes responsibility for the business of God on the earth. It's covenant. Covenant. When two people are in covenant, some people don't understand, husband and wife, that they are in covenant. And now we see a man, he has a lot of money and he's punishing his wife with money. God will deal with him at the end of the day. He has no choice. Because it's not your money alone. The day you got married, sir, you signed that money over to that woman. You own it together. I was given a Mercedes Benz as my wedding gift when I got married many years ago, because I was pastoring 2,000 people already. And I was a very young man. And they gave me a Mercedes Benz car. Now, I took delivery of it 1 week before the wedding itself. It was a car that I used for the wedding itself. And I stood before my pastor and before God. And I said, with all my earthly possessions, I had nothing. That car was the only thing I had. With all my earthly possessions, I endow thee. And I just said to myself, you just gave the car away. She never needed to take permission from me and say, I need permission. Will you lend me your car? What's that supposed to mean? When she needed it, she said, where's the key? She usually asks, where's the key? And she would take the car and drive it off. Praise God. Because we own it together. That's covenant. That's why your fight is God's fight. Whenever you read the book of Psalms and you see God, you see David say, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. You think he's talking about the demons? The enemies of God were the Philistines. The enemies of David, they were the enemies of God because of covenant. In the same way, the business of God is our business. The needs of the house of God are our needs to take care of. What God is looking for are people who really understand covenant like Abraham. You see, Abraham left the all of the Chaldees to become a great nation that we worship God. And he left the all of the Chaldees so that through him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through his seed called Jesus Christ. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. Abraham's agenda was God's agenda. God's agenda was Abraham's agenda on the earth. The problem God has with his children today, especially in poor third world economies, is that we are all just survival conscious. Even when we come to church, it is all about our breakthrough. It is all about what to eat and what to drink. Oh God, it is my miracle. That is what we live for. Whereas what we don't understand is we ought to live for God's agenda on the earth. It is God's purpose we should live for. In Christ Jesus, all the nations of the earth are blessed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am to live for evangelism. I am to live for discipleship. That is what I live for. Now, Jesus said, if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things, this is what it is. All this breakthrough, open door, money, wife, children, they will be added to you. They will be added because you need them for the mission. You need them for the mission, don't you? Don't we need cars for the mission? Don't we need airplanes for the mission? Some people can't even say yes. You see, by the time we have the 3,200 churches we are dreaming of, there is no way me to I won't need jets like Baba Deboye. The other day we were trying to fly 2 weeks ago, just about 2 weeks ago. Exactly 2 weeks ago, actually. My wife and I were in Uganda. We were trying to fly back to the United Kingdom. They canceled our flight that evening. They canceled it just like that. And they now said we should take one flight. 3 a.m. 3:30 a.m. in the middle of the night. We had to be leaving the hotel at 12 midnight and be going to airport. The whole body wanted to sleep. We can't sleep because somebody made us take one flight at 3:30 a.m. They would delay it by 1 hour again. We ended up taking off from Entebbe Airport at 4:30 a.m. And it was Rwanda Air. They ought to take us to Kigali. They first took us to Nairobi. And then from Nairobi to Kigali. And then we now got down again. And now took another flight at 9 a.m. for London. 8 and a half hours. Wahala, 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 wahala. Many years ago, before Bishop Edeko had bought a second jet, he had sold off his first jet. And Covenant University was still young then. We attended a conference with him in Atlanta, Georgia. And I remember being inside the hotel one day and, you know, I called his room. And he said to me, he said, you know, we badly did a private jet right now. I said, you need it, Papa. He said, as soon as I finish ministering yesterday night, I would have left for Lagos. He said, we have the convocation to do. It's coming up on Monday. This was Saturday. I felt for the man. He was held up in the hotel in Atlanta, Georgia. And he wouldn't be able to leave for Nigeria until evening that day. He'll arrive Nigeria in the morning and be rushing to church to preach with his level of schedule. And then you go to social media and you'll be typing what you don't know anything about, sir. The poverty of your background does not let you understand the kind of hectic schedule that some people run and how much time is of the essence for them. The reason why they give presidents private jets to fly around is not for luxury and fun. It's because of their schedule, sir. The way you need a car is the way they need jets. Do you understand that? So we don't live for these things. We live for the mission. But while we are living for the mission, all our needs are being met. And being met to overflowing. So Abraham refused. He gave the tithe to God, acknowledging God as provider. And I think anybody who wants to have any covenant, really operate this covenant with God, that's the barest minimum they can do. Giving 10% of their finances to the source. And it's an operation of faith. Listen, all this is about tight going on the internet. Forget the 10%. Do 20 or do 30. But this man is not a thief. Just because he says, give your 10% to God, doesn't make him a thief. Does it make him a thief? No. They've painted we Pentecostal pastors as robbers or rogues because we are asking people to give 10% of their income to God. Go to the club. Even in the club, don't you drop money there. How can the club exist or be maintained without money? There's nowhere. Your pastor does not, this tent was not given to grace me free of charge. It is money paid. Trust me. The musicians, these guys, Oga, is water enough for you to survive every day? Even water costs money. So that's why they collect allowance. It is the allowance some of them use to send themselves to school. In other words, just like you're living your life costs money. Running church costs money, and it's a lot. Unless you are a member of staff, you have no idea how much money it takes to run a church. Absolutely no idea. We bought a generator, was that last year? Yeah. $34 million. To buy a generator to run church. $34 million, sir. It's no small money. Where our church is, we leased the place. And recently, we now say it's time to buy. Our church has been there for a very long time. When we went to value it, $1.5 billion. We found one land close to us, you know, right now that we are interested in Maryland there. $1.2 billion. They told us $1.2 billion. If we want that land that we are negotiating for right now, $1.2 billion. Hallelujah. To buy land. And we are believing God for it, to buy it. No, there's no doubt about it. We are believing God. We are giving what we can give, trusting God for miracles. That's the way he's always done it. And we have a few hundreds of millions in the kitty already. But the reality is, if it is a people are giving over 10%, and then they refuse, and they drop 2% in church, is what we are going to stay with. The children of darkness, they will be getting their job done, and Christianity will be lagging behind. I'm sad to let you know, but this is the truth. Christianity is not the fastest growing religion in the world today. Islam is. The sheikhs are not looking back. They're not arguing over anything. They are dropping the money seriously for the advancement of their religion in the world. They are taking over Europe. The mayoral elections are taking place. I hope you followed. You watched BBC or Sky News yesterday. That the Muslim mayor of London has been returned into power. It's money. They use money for politics. And that's the way it is in several cities of UK. Churches have been turned into mosques and into nightclubs every day, church buildings. God is looking for people. God sent me here today because he's looking for people who want to trust God for money with a mission. The money that is in their lives is for the mission of discipling the nations of the world. Anyway, look at Abraham. Abraham, however, refused wrong money. He said, I don't want any human being to ever beat his chest and say, I made Abraham rich. Say, what God will do in my life, I don't want anybody to take the glory for it. You will know the reason why he didn't allow your uncle to help you now. And allows your friend to turn his back on you. God does not want anybody taking his own glory and sharing his glory concerning what he wants to do in your life. God himself wants to bless you. And he will bless you in a way that the world around you will see that you are a sign and a wonder to this generation. So Abraham refused to collect, to take anything. Give the tithe to God by giving it to the priest of the Most High God, but he refused to take anything home. And then he went back home. When he got back home, he was like, what did I just do? I took 318 men to go and fight thousands of people. Scary. When we are under the anointing, we can do amazing things. When the anointing lifts like this, then you become a human being. At times, we feel like human beings at times. And when we are ourselves, it is a pastor misses that sees pastor when pastor is a total human being. Praise God. But when he's behind this pulpit, there's such an anointing on him. If you receive the word of his mouth, you are healed, you are delivered, and all of that. But when the anointing lifts, the anointing lifted from him. When he was fighting, killing all the thousands of soldiers, he was under supernatural power. Then he got back and said, what did I just do? These people can all come and kill me. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. It was Sodom and Gomorrah that had a problem. Now I have put my neck into it. I've turned their enemies to become my enemies. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, I am your shield. Introduced another blessing of the covenant to him, the blessing of protection. Hallelujah. Elevation is yours. Real estate is yours. Victory is yours. Protection is yours. Said, I, the Almighty God, I am your shield. When God says, I am your shield, so who will get hold of God and get hold of you thereafter? I am your shield. He now added one more. And your exceeding great reward. Exceeding great reward. When you look at what it means, literally it means, I am your speedily multiplying wages. That is what it means in the original Hebrew. Speedily. Somebody say speedily. Say multiplying wages. In other words, your income is going to multiply. God told Abraham, from now, it is not a matter of addition anymore. Multiplication is going to come to your income. It is going to come very fast. Speedily. Multiplying wages. No wonder. God began to bless him stupendously. Abraham became very wealthy. By the time he sent a servant to go and get a wife for his son Isaac, that servant told them when he got to his kinfolk, he said, the Lord has blessed my master in everything. There is nothing that is called blessing in manifestation that my master does not have. Is it industries? Is it skyscrapers? Is it cars? Is it private jet? He said, God has blessed my master in everything, in all things. The guy is loaded. And it was the Almighty God that did it. By the time his children were going to leave Egypt, and that blessing was activated, when they put the blood on the doors of their houses, do you know what happened? Let's show me Psalm 105 verse 37. I need to round up from there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 105, verse 37. He also brought them out, that is out of Egypt, with what? Silver and gold. And there was not none feeble among their tribes. This is, he brought them out with prosperity. Let's go back to 37, please. I did ask us to go to 38. Yes, prosperity. And what do we see here? Divine healing, divine health. Night, the blood was put on the lintels of their houses. In that night, the Bible says God gave them favor before the Egyptians, and they gave them such things as they asked for, and that they spoiled the Egyptians. The word spoiled there means literally that they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. That night there was a transference, are you listening to me somebody, of the economy of Egypt into the hands of the new nation that was being born that night, the nation of Israel. The wealth of Egypt transferred. Somebody do your hand like this. There's about to be a shift from the hand of the wicked into the hand of the righteous, from the hand of the unbelievers into the hand of the believers, from the hand of the children of the wicked into the hand of the children of God. It's supernatural. Exceeding great reward. The God who was the exceeding great reward of Abraham became the exceeding great reward of Isaac, exceeding great reward of Jacob, exceeding great reward of Joseph, and of the entirety of the nation of Israel at the end of the day. And as the coming of Jesus nears, God will take nobodies, make them somebodies. He will take paupers and make billionaires out of them. He will bless you beyond your wildest imagination. What he's asking of you is covenant. Be true to the covenant. Like Abraham was true to the covenant, committed to the covenant. God wants you to be true and committed to the covenant. When you read the book of Luke chapter 4, you will see the second temptation of Jesus. The devil showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time, and said, all this I will give to you, all this authority I will give to you, and the glory of them and their wealth. It's understood, the word glory there speaks about their silver, their gold, the wealth of those nations. And Satan said, I'm going to give it to you if you will fall down and worship me. Whoever you worship is your God. Whoever you worship is the one you covenant with. Satan told Jesus, you worship me and I'll give you everything because it's been delivered to me. And it was Adam that handed it all over to him. But the devil does not own it. Neither did Adam own them. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Revelations 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They all belong to God. And that's why God gives it to whoever he wants. Now, because Satan is running this world, running this world's affair, those who enter into covenant with him, he also gives them wealth. He gives them wealth, but he collects their soul for eternal damnation. Yeah, that's why some children of the wicked are also very wealthy. Yeah, supernaturally. They have the money. But some of them, as wealthy as they are, they must find a virgin to sleep with every day or every week of their life. So that you will find that they are reckless sexually. Yeah, and there are those, it is ritual killings to service the altar on a regular basis. That is not our portion. We will live our lives in peace and joy. As we, all we do is we honor God with our substance. We don't allow everything flying on social media to affect our commitment to God. It's money with a mission. We're not talking about materialism. No. I don't preach the gospel of materialism. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in just taking wealth and flaunting it before the poor, in the face of the poor. No, real covenant people take care of the poor. They take care of widows. I know one man, a billionaire. I met him before in the house of a friend of mine in this city. And this man, He was into politics. One of the southeastern states. He sponsored one of the former governors into power. And some people got hired killers to kill him. They rained bullets on his car one day. This man was at the throes of death. The wife arranged immediately with an air ambulance. They flew him to London. My friend, his pastor, too, got a ticket, bam, to London, was walking the corridors, praying for his healing. At that time, I had not yet met him. It was after he was well that I met him. You know, but I had the opportunity to meet his wife some time ago in the United States. We were attending the same conference. The wife now explained to me, said, one part of the story you never heard was that my husband and I have 5,000 widows that we are taking care of in the Southeast. 5,000. Said, as soon as the rain bullets on my husband and he was unconscious, I sent word to the widows that daddy is close to death. Daddy is in coma. Said, they sent word back to me. For the next 3 days, we are eating no food, not drinking water. Daddy cannot die. Was the message they sent back. The 5,000 widows were in fasting and prayer. Set up prayer chains, praying non-stop for 72 hours. This man covered supernaturally. That's what we are talking about. You don't use the money to oppress the poor. You use it to take care of the poor. You use it to finance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You use it to meet needs. You know, if you see the lady, and she was so simple, just easygoing. They don't wear airs. And yet she's the chairman of one of the leading hotels in this city. Easy, simple, easygoing. They understand the reason why God gave them the wealth. I remember I was in a service in Chicago some years ago. Mrs. Bill Gates was there. Simple Catholic woman. And Belinda Gates said, he said, when God brought all the money, he said, Bill and I just wanted to solve business problems when we invented the Windows. He said, and before we knew what was happening, all this money came into our hand that we didn't expect. He said, we knew God must have given us the money for a purpose. So we began to pray to find out how they prayed. I don't know. But she talked about growing up as a Catholic and taught how to, you know, set aside time every day for meditative prayer. And she talked about how she came to the conclusion, how they came to the conclusion it was the poor children of Africa that God will have them spend their money for. Today, 90% of their wealth has been willed away for the poor. Because they understand the purpose is not self. If God will give us a heart like their own, He will give us money like He has given them. Lift your hands and surrender to the Lord today. All to Jesus I surrender. I will ever love and trust in His presence daily live. We're going to sing this song only one time. Lift your hands. I surrender. Surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. Surrender all. While our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, if you're in this place, you say, Pastor Victor, I've not even given my life to Christ. I'm not a born-again Christian. But I believe Jesus died for my sins and He rose from the dead. I would like to enter into covenant with Him today. Wherever you are, raise up your right hand. Let me pray for you. Raise that right hand high above your head. I would like to give my life to Christ. I want Jesus to become Lord of my life. Any hand, I can't see any hand way up high. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wherever you are, everybody, make this commitment to Heavenly Father. I entrust my life, my finances, my everything to you. From today, I will prioritize the mission of evangelism, of discipling the nations through my commitment to my local church. I will be committed in this church and to her outreaches and to her endeavors. And I trust you that as I do so, you will bless me. You will meet all my needs to overflowing so that I can be a greater blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Please take your seats, please. Every head bowed, all eyes closed. One more call. I want to pray for a set of people here. The Lord will have me pray for those who will make a commitment today, a sacrificial commitment as a demonstration of the acceptance of this message and of faith and covenant with God. You are going to give a sacrificial seed to God. That was a but I want you to talk to the Lord today and you want to give sacrificially. I want to agree with you in prayer for something to begin in your life and finances from today that will encourage you and urge you on in partnership with God. I want to pray for divine ideas, God ideas. God does not just answer our prayers and people handing us money. That's the lowest kind of blessing. But when people give in reward for your labor, now we are talking. When God attracts clients and customers to you, when God opens up opportunities that you don't know about before, we are talking about divine ideas. We're talking about God doing supernatural things. When, like Jacob, God tampered with the genetic configuration of animals. That was supernatural. Gold in the mouth of a fish, that was supernatural. Oil that was flowing to an unending measure, that was supernatural. God does supernatural things. And that is what I want to pray for. Everyone that will give a sacrifice like that, wherever you are, I'm not going to ask you for the amount. I'm just going to ask you to stand up because I want to pray for you. Every sacrificial giver, please stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Everybody who's going to give a sacrifice unto God today, some of you, you say, it's going to be at month end when I get my salary that I'll be able to give it. Stand. You can join us if you know you cannot give sacrificially immediately, but you will be able to do it at the end of the month. You can join us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One more time. I surrender. Go ahead and talk to the Lord where you are right now. Talk to him about your finances and tell him exactly what you want to give. Thank you, Jesus. Sing that song one more time and I will pray. I surrender. Oh yes, I surrender. surrender all. God may be asking you to even give substance. Not be cash. Just obey God, whatever God is telling you to give. I know that early this year we've gotten a gift of land, we've gotten a gift of a house, and God is blessing. Heavenly Father, I present this, your children, to you who are standing in your presence today to give sacrificially in faith, in total response to your word that they heard today. And I just activate in their lives right now the favor of God, the type of favor that you gave Abraham, that in Egypt wealth was transferred into his hand. The kind of favor that you gave Israel, that in Egypt the wealth of the Egyptians was transferred into their hands. And I'm asking for an activation of the supernatural, by the which five loaves and two fishes was able to feed 5,000 people, by the which a pot of oil turned into something that was able to serve, to fill up all available water pots. I'm asking you to activate the kind of blessing that took the single meal of the widow of Zarephath and made it something that outlasted a famine season. Lord, multiply the seeds of this, your children. Meet their needs supernaturally. You know the needs that they have. Let them be supernaturally met. And what the word they are giving cannot do, Father, do it for them to the glory of your name. Fill them with divine ideas. Open up supernatural doors to them. Let creativity be activated within them to solve problems, to provide solutions, and to add a greater value to the lives of other people so that they will be rewarded more handsomely. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the enemy concerning their finances. Take your hands off their finances, Satan. In the name of Jesus Christ, go ministering spirits. Cause their finances to be blessed. Cause their businesses to multiply. Cause their careers to flourish to new dimensions. In the name of Jesus Christ, everybody says amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We are going to give. When the pastor will direct us to tell us the right account to give this. And then let's also prepare and get ready to give our regular tithes and offerings. We welcome the pastor back.
Hallelujah. Please let's put those hands together for Jesus this afternoon. Amen. Can we celebrate my Father this morning, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can give your seat to the project account. The project account is 04497. You can give your seat to that account. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We give you that. Please, just want to pray for us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I give you the praise for your servant and your handmaiden. Thank you, Lord, for raising them up for such a time as this to be a blessing to this generation. Thank you for the oil of your anointing that eyes cannot see, that operates in their ministry. Thank you for everyone that you have sent to partner with them in this great assignment that is going to touch this nation and touch the earth. In the name of Jesus, I impart a greater measure of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to them for enlargement of capacity. Capacity to lead, capacity to administrate, capacity to manage, capacity, oh God, to birth, capacity to actualize dreams, visions, ideas, goals, and aspirations, and capacity to father and to mother this congregation, to care, to cuddle, and to carry them, Lord, and so that born on eagle's wings, they all may soar to higher dimensions of glory. Lord, let there be such impartation in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare your benediction, Lord, upon them in Jesus' name, causing expansion and enlargement at Grace Mead Christian Center and in their business endeavors also. Thank you, Father, for in common favor Make them specimens of your goodness, of your kindness, and of your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, these ones are blessed. Blessed beyond all limits. Blessed beyond the imaginations of the wicked. Blessed beyond those who hate them. They are unstoppable in their march to progress and destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ, be blessed with fresh blessing, fresh unction. In the name of Jesus, be blessed exceedingly, abundantly. Thank you, Father, because you are their shield and you are their exceeding great reward. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, that was it for me. Amen. Praise God. Are we ready for our Thanksgiving? Amen. Once again, I'd like to appreciate Reverend Adebayo Ezekiel for coming this morning. Please help me appreciate him. He's a dear friend. Amen. We go way back, way back, way back, way back. So glad to have you. Thank you so much for honoring us with your presence. Praise God. Please, it's time for special Thanksgiving. Okay, we'll come back to take the special Thanksgivings. Amen. But we want to turn Deborah Ajayi loose again in Minister Deborah.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We're glad you're part of our community now and trust you are blessed by today's message. Please subscribe to the Sheu Oshibeson podcast, like and share as well. You can also find Pastor Sheu on Instagram at Sheu Oshibeson or at Gracemade NG.